Good morning. Welcome to the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that we've already been here 7 days or today? Well, time flies when you're having fun. We've been having fun, but we've been learning about God as well and being serious about what we do and obeying the Word of God. Before I get into the message, since we've been having stories about restaurants, I'm going to tell a little story about my wife. Probably be in trouble now. But we were out in Oregon. Yeah, Matt, we actually lived in Oregon for a time. And it was during the days of unleavened bread. And we had to go up to Eugene, Oregon, for the days of unleavened bread with some friends. And we went into a restaurant. And you know how they always have the little bowl of crackers there, you know, in the little bowl, soda crackers. And Donna, she reaches over there. Boy, she's going to get a cracker, you know. I said, "You don't want a cracker." She said, "Yes, I do. I want a cracker." And I said, "No, you don't." She said, "I most certainly do want a cracker." And then she looked at us and, "Oh." So, well, today I'm going to be talking about the hope that is in us. I thought Mr. Steenport was going to steal all my thunder the other day when he talked about hope, but he only used one scripture I had. So that wasn't too bad. The hope that is in us. What is the hope that is in us? Let's go to 1 Peter 3:15. I got a lot of scriptures today. 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So how do we answer this question? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. "For David spoke concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope.'" Verse 27. "Because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." Verse 28. "For you have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with thy countenance." So, we find the answer in the resurrection. Now let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 16. Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. Psalm 16, 9 through 11. "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." So it's talking about the resurrection from the dead, the first resurrection. Let's go back to 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now some of the Protestant churches say, see, our reward's in heaven. But that's not what it means. Our reward comes from heaven. It's not in heaven. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 21. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. This is the hope that we have within us, the resurrection from the dead. Let's go back to Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 20. And we'll go through 25. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we wait in patience for it. Here we see that we hope for that which we cannot see, which builds patience. If we already see our reward, then we won't have hope, and we won't have the urgency to obey God and seek His will for us. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, we'll start in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 5. Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. This tells us that we must go through a long process to have our hope fulfilled, through tribulations, trials, patience, experience. We have hope. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, starting in verse 12, and we'll go through verse 21. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consider men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. This is the way we should live. This is what we should be doing. If at all possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So here we see something else that was added here, was prayer. And how to treat others, and how to live a holy and righteous life. Well, was all of this just for the Israelites and Jews who were called? Let's go over a chapter to chapter 15 of Romans and see. Romans 15, I'm going to start in verse 1 and we'll go through verse 13. Romans 15, 1. We then are strong, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached you fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto your name. And again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. So it shows it wasn't just for the Jews and the Israelites that were being called. It was for the whole world. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So like I said, this was not just for the Jews or the Israelites. It was for us who are now called, but it was also to those who God would call through those he was working with at that time. So now we're getting into what our job responsibility is. To give hope to the world. To give hope to the hopeless. Now let's go back to the book of Psalms. Again, we have several scriptures in the book of Psalms that I want to cover. Starting with Psalms 78. Psalm 78 and verse 1. And we'll go to verse 8. Psalm 78, 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will not utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. I will utter dark sayings of old, which our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So here we see God intended his laws and his ways to be passed down from generation to generation. And we know that that didn't happen because Israel fell away, turned aside, that Jeroboam caused Israel to sin, the great sin. And we know what happened, and they went on with captivity, but they forsake the God. And so these things were not passed down. And that's why that the world doesn't know them today, because they were lost. Okay, let's go over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And start in verse 49. And we'll go through verse 56. Remember the word unto your servant upon which you caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror had taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered your name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept your law. This I had because I kept your precepts. And that's what we are doing and what we have to do. Keeps God's law and his precepts. Now let's go on over in the same chapter, verse 2 of verse 114. Psalms 119, 114. And we'll go through verse 616. You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. So we don't need to be ashamed that we keep God's word, and that we have hope in God, and that we trust in God. Now let's go to Psalms 130. And we will read this whole short chapter here, 8 verses of Psalms 130. Out of our depths have I cried, out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from their iniquities. One more in Psalms. Psalms 146. And we're going to do this whole chapter as well. Praise you the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. While I live, I will praise the Lord. So while we live, we will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So as long as we're alive, and we praise the Lord and worship the Lord, keep his commandments. Put not trust in princes, nor the son of man, whom is there no help. His breath goes forth, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, which made heaven and earth and sea and all that in there is, which keeps truth forever, which executes judgment for the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord loosens the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even your God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Now let's go back to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 17. And we'll go through verse 23. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all. This is the message the world needs to hear. Understanding the truth about Jesus Christ and why he came, and the hope that can be found in him. It also shows us here that all who repent and are baptized will have direct access to God the Father. Let's go to, and we'll see that in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. So that shows us that those who repent and are baptized have direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 4. And we'll go to verse 10, through verse 10. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But unto every one of us is given one God, the Father of all, is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Talking about Christ was crucified and was in the grave. He descended in the same. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. It makes it plain that there is one way to obtain salvation, through Jesus Christ. Now let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts 4, starting in verse 8. And we'll go to verse 12, Acts 4, 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where we might be saved. So that makes it very plain. That salvation is only comes through Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, and start in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And now let's go to 1 1 Thessalonians 4, just back a chapter, and we'll start in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. So we know that whether we're still alive when Christ comes or we are in the ground, we will all be raised up together. So this is telling us how the hope that is in us will come to fruition by the resurrection of the dead, the first resurrection. Now let's go. Philippians 1:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights of the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly to you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2. Verses 14 through 20. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. So Paul is talking about the hardships and the persecutions that he suffered and those that he's writing to have endured. And in verse 19, he tells them what's important. What their hope of their joy is a crown of rejoicing in the presence of Jesus Christ, the resurrection. Now let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I have in my margin called, a people called for a special purpose. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Now let's go to Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. Titus 3, verse 7 and 8. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm consistently, constantly, that they may have, which have believed in God, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now I got one more in Hebrews. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Well, why are we the hope of the world, brethren? Because we understand and teach the unknown, unbelievable truth of God. Because we have the understanding of the mystery of the plan of God for mankind. How awesome is it to have that understanding? But what a great responsibility it is to pass this knowledge on. Now, you know, brethren, when God looks down here and looks at the churches of God right now, I don't think he's very happy. I don't think he likes what he sees. You know, we have people, all of these churches, but you can't associate with anybody. You can't stop and in and visit another church because, you know, you're different. And we have all these schisms and divisions and splits. You know, and God, that is not from God. God does not like that. How are we going to get the work of God done when we're all divided? Well, I'm not suggesting that we should be like it was in Worldwide, where it was just one church. I'm not suggesting that at all, because I think it's much better to have, you know, smaller, different, you know, congregations. But can't we all get together? Can't we trust each other? We all believe in the same God and Jesus Christ. Why are we all divided? And why is there so much, you know, mistrust and anger and all this between God's people? That should not be, brethren. Absolutely should not be. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and we'll see why some of this is. Ephesians 4, 13 and 15, 13 through 15. Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of our pastor or our leader. No, it doesn't say that. To the measure of the stature and the fullness of Jesus Christ. that we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Jesus Christ. That's where we have a problem. Because too many people have claimed that they're the head of the church. Brethren, no man is the head of the church of God. We just read, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if people would realize that, and people would obey that, we wouldn't have, you know, the mess that we have. Let's read one more in 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 13. No, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 1. 1 Peter 5, and verse 1. Now, this is talking to the elders, ministers, whatever. The elders which are among you I exhort, who I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint or compulsion or because you have to, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. If we had ministers and elders that would do that and not lord it over the laity, we wouldn't have all these problems. Now, as we have heard and have read here today in this message, our hope is in the first resurrection. So, what is the hope of the world? Well, that's what tomorrow's all about. The second resurrection. And I'm sure Rich is going to explain that to us tomorrow. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and start in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Wherefore you heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel. It's another scripture. Protestants use to say that, you know, we go to heaven. But, you know, we know that that's not so. That a reward is from heaven, not in heaven. Which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who declared unto us your love of the Spirit. Now let's go over to verse 14. It's talking about Jesus Christ here, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even a forgiveness of sins, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. So there again we see who's the head of the church. Not any man, but Jesus Christ. So he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. That's our goal, brethren. And verse 23 is my hope for everyone in this room and for all of God's people. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generation to generation, the mystery of God, the mystery of God's word, his understanding God's word, the mystery of the plan of God for mankind, is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember, we are the hope of the world. As Cass said yesterday, let's be about our Father's business.